Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Well, hey friends, so glad you tuned into the Moms in Prayer podcast this week. I'm your host, Leedean Heiss. Thank you for taking time to review this podcast and give us honest answers on iTunes and all of the other podcast platforms. Your reviews are such a gift and so fun to read. Today's amazing guest is my friend Shannon Popkin. She's an author, speaker, and doesn't mind being identified as a control girl. Actually, I think she would rather be called a recovering control girl. That's the title of her book. As I've talked with Moms in Prayer women over the years and asked them what brought them into Moms in Prayer, the most frequent answer is fear and a loss of control in the lives of their children. That's what brought me here too. Moms in Prayer offers hope and another way, but if you sometimes struggle with a desire to control your circumstances or sometimes even your family, you aren't going to want to miss a minute. Let's jump right in. My friend Shannon Popkin, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much, Lee. It's so great to be with you.
I love when I get to have my real life friends meet my podcast, Moms in Prayer Systems. This is so fun for me. And we've actually been working on getting you here because I feel like your message the Lord gave you is so relevant to Moms in Prayer moms. So before I give it all away, Shannon, introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure. Any chance I get to spend with you, Lee, I take it. So this is super fun to be here on the show with you. So my name is Shannon Popkin. I'm an author and a speaker. And my first book released about 2 years ago, the title is Control Girl, Lessons on Surrendering Your Burden of Control from 7 Women in the Bible. And I like to talk on topics that relate to motherhood because I think control and motherhood sometimes overlap quite a bit. And so I am a mom. I have 3 kids. My oldest is 20. My middle one is 18. And my youngest is 15. And I have a husband of, oh my goodness, I always lose track. I think it's 23 years. You've been married a long time when you can't remember how many years, right?
It's great. I've probably told you this before, but one of the key reasons that moms enter Moms in Prayer is because they can't control what happens in the lives of their kids. Once our kids leave our homes or even enter into schools, they're out of our immediate control. So your issue, your topic, your last book is totally relevant to where we are today.
I was going to say, I remember the first year that my oldest child, my daughter, went to middle school. And so having her leave the elementary school, which was really close to my house, and I was there all the time, and then she's going into this building where all these other schools are dumping in, and I didn't know any of these kids, and I didn't know their moms, and I didn't know these teachers, or, you know, like, it just felt like I was releasing her out into the great big world. That is a scary place to be. And so, yeah, control and moving through the stages with her kids, it's a really unique tension.
It's so amazing that God gives us these little ones to protect and nurture and grow. And that is our responsibility. And at the same time, God says, okay, you're going to have to give them up. I don't want to give the whole interview away. So how old were you when you started to realize that you had control issues?
You know, I was into my 30s, I think, before. I always thought I was so sweet. I was so invested. You know, I was just a very faithful, committed mom. I was involved in everything, you know, my church, my neighborhood, everywhere. But I didn't realize I was trying to control it all. You know, I did not see that in myself. So I would say, I was mid-30s and a lot was going on. I had 3 busy kids, a lot on our calendar. My husband was real busy with his career, real involved in our church. And it's like my control issues were just mushrooming because I had so much that I wanted to go right. in the world. And that's the way I see us, you know, I call them control girls. We're just trying to make it all turn out right. We don't have ill intentions. We're not trying to mess anything up. We're trying to do the opposite. And yet I was learning that when I insert myself, when I try to, you know, get my fingers in everything, I can produce the opposite effect. I can actually make things worse by trying to control it all. And I had this real pivotal epiphany moment when I was driving in the car one day listening to Dee Breslin on the radio. And she was talking about how control is something that we don't always see in ourselves. And she mentioned these sins beneath the sins. She said there are other surface level sins. And she talked about anger and anxiety and perfectionism, those sorts of things. And then she linked it to this underlying issue with control. And I thought, oh, well, maybe that could be my problem as well.
I think that's fascinating. And it actually seems realistic that there's underlying issues that mask themselves as control. What are some of those issues that you think we face as women?
Yeah, you know, I really think that control masks itself, right? I don't think that we don't necessarily look for control. I have never been in a Bible study group or, you know, a meeting with someone where they have said, hey, pray for me because I'm really controlling. it's not one of those things that we identify for ourselves. Now, I have been in a lot of meetings or Bible studies where someone is saying, pray for me. I have this other controlling woman in my life. You know, I don't think we see it in ourselves. When we're taking control, we're trying to invest. We see ourselves as the good guy, right? We don't see ourselves as doing anything wrong. You know, like you said, Lee, we're not bad moms when we're trying to manage our kids' surroundings and keep them safe and keep them healthy. Like, those are good. That's what God has called us to do. And yet when we overstep and we put ourselves in God's shoes and take on the role that he intended to keep for himself, both for us and for our children, that's when we have wandered into dangerous territory.
Yeah. And I was thinking about anxiety, just paralyzing anxiety that we just can't even put our finger on, but actually is why we end up in the principal's office trying to control our kids' environment. Yes. Rather than turning to the Lord with this feeling inside of us that's wrecking us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about anxiety and then let's talk about anger. Because those, I think, are two of those things that bubble to the surface that are tied to this underlying issue with control. And so we can see the anger, we can see the anxiety, and sometimes that can help us to see our issue with control. So let me tell you about anxiety. I have a child who started, you know how, like, there are these lists of warning signs that you look for your kids. Like, you can read them on the internet. Like, if he starts, you know, isolating himself or he's doing this or that. I had one of my kids start having a whole bunch of things on that list in his life. And I became really, really concerned. And, you know, I'm a control girl mom. So I kicked it into high gear. I'm like, we're going to fix this problem. I started reading books. I was scouring the internet. I was talking to people. And, you know, we were going to get ahead of this problem that I was seeing. We were going to get professionals involved. Like, we were going to fix this. One of the things that concerned me most was I learned that my son was eating lunch in the library. He wasn't going to the cafeteria anymore. He just would go by himself to the library. And that concerned me. And then I also learned that he was going to the library before school and after school. He didn't tell me this. Other people told me this. And, you know, I just felt the anxiety. Like, I can't control that, you know? And so, like I said, you know, we kicked it into high gear. We made a lot of changes and talked and prayed and invested in fixing this problem. And one of the things we did was we moved into a new school. We thought a fresh start, a small Christian environment. And, you know, we were so hopeful and it was a great start. He loved his new school. And then one day I went to drop off a special lunch for him. It was his birthday. And I went into the cafeteria where all the kids eat lunch. And I started asking around, like, have you seen my son? And one of the kids said, oh, he always eats by himself in the library. Mm. And You know, Lee, that was just one of those moments that my heart sank. And I think God was saying to me in that moment, you can't fix this. This is not yours to fix. This is not you. You can't control this. This will lead you back to me. This will lead your son back to me. This problem, this anxiety-producing situation is not intended to help you learn to become more controlling. The intention is the opposite. God was inviting me over and over and over through that situation and 100 more like it to give him control.
Wow. I'm sure I would love to hear the rest of that story, but you also said that anger is there too. So has that manifested in your life too?
Yep. I think, you know, we feel anxiety because we're losing control, right?
Right.
Anxiety is like, oh no, I can't fix this. I can't control this. But anger is also a result of like, this is not what I wanted. It slipped from my grasp and I'm mad about that. And so like for me as a young mom, I was really trying to produce an exemplary family. I wanted for us to be awesome. I wanted every single one of us to look cute. You know, I wanted us to act, to behave respectfully. I wanted to produce an outstanding family. And it wasn't possible. It kept like every time I would feel like I could get it in my grasp, well, a loose end would just slip away and then I'd have to reorganize and try and get control of that. I remember when my kids were all three in elementary school, one of the things that I was really intentional about was I wanted to have Bible time before they went to school. Like I wanted, and I mean, it was formal.
Well, but that's a good thing, right?
It is a good thing.
That's a good thing. Okay.
It is such a good thing. We sat in the living room and we had our little Bibles and I read them verses. And I mean, I'm a teacher. So I was in there. I was like excited. I was pumped up about this, but the kids were all feeling so strained and stressed out because I was rather long-winded and the bus was coming. and they knew that if they said, Mom, we need to go, like the bus is coming. Well, I was going to get mad because I was in the middle of sharing some great spiritual revelation and truth with them. And those mornings were so stressful. They were so stressful. And I remember my friend Jamie saying, you know what, Shannon, what if you could just try and give them a peaceful send-off? Like, what if you could just relax your expectations a little bit, maybe move Bible time to another time of the day? And my anger was making far more of an effect on my kids and our home than those spiritual truths that I was trying to get into their little hearts. And I think that when we take control, yes, we have great intentions, but what it produces in us is not so great. So, yeah, I think that when we're looking for this problem with control, which we don't often do, but if we're going to start looking for it, look for anxiety, look for anger, look for perfectionism. Those three are huge. Sometimes these negative emotions that boil to the surface can indicate an underlying struggle with control.
So what's at stake if we don't deal with this? What's at stake for the long term when we live controlling lives?
You know, I have such a concern for what's at stake. The Barna research shows our kids leaving the church just en masse, right? So many kids have grown up in the faith, in the church, and they're not making it their own. And I wonder if it's because we've produced something that looks like Christianity with our control tactics, with our anger, with our manipulation. We've produced something that is not genuine and true. There's a story in the Bible with Sarah, Abraham's wife, when they're having this little party for Isaac. You know, Isaac was her son of old age. She was 90 years old when she had Isaac. And so this little celebration for him, he's about 3 years old. And at the party, Ishmael, who is the son by Hagar, he's a teenager at this point, and he starts teasing Isaac. And Isaac's name means laughter, and Sarah is not laughing. She's irate. And she like, I just picture her protectively standing in front of Isaac, and she says something pretty drastic. She says, "Cast out this slave woman and her son, for this son of hers will never be heir with my son Isaac." I mean, that's pretty drastic, right? You show them the door, say goodbye, they're out of here forever, right? I want them gone. We could accuse Sarah of being controlling at that point, but I actually see her as aligning herself more with God in that moment. She's finally seeing Ishmael as the threat that he has kind of always been. She and Abraham, they're like 90, she's 93, Abraham's 103. They're not going to be around forever, right? And it's like she almost starts to see how this is all going to play out. This tension between Isaac and his older half-brother is not going to go away. And Ishmael is thinking of himself like, I'm the firstborn, I'm the heir. And she's just kind of seeing how that might all play out. Remember, though, that it's not Sarah who gave Isaac the firstborn rights. God did. And so Sarah is finally seeing like, oh my goodness, what have I done here? I've invited Ishmael. Ishmael was Sarah's idea. That was Sarah being a control girl, trying to make it all turn out right, trying to produce this son. And you know what Galatians 4 says? It says that Ishmael was born according to the flesh, and that Isaac was born according to the promise. Yeah. And so you know what that tells me? Here is Ishmael, is he represents what we can produce. You know, what we can produce as moms. And Isaac represents what we cannot produce, what only God can produce. So Sarah sees Ishmael for the first time as this threat in her home. This is what she produced. And as moms who want to take control and who want to produce these godly looking children, like, what if we started seeing that as a threat to our own kids? What if we're producing slaves, not sons? Jesus says that it's the son who stays in the home. The slave doesn't stay. That's my concern for us as controlling moms, that we, like Sarah, will introduce slavery into our homes instead of inviting God to produce true children of God like Isaac. That's something only he can do, right? That's something a control girl mom cannot do.
What did you find to be the remedy? Like, what helped you move from this place where you found yourself having controlling behavior or controlling thoughts into a place that's more peaceful?
Mm-hmm. In my book, I talk about the hold and fold principle. So like, if we divide all of life into two categories, here's what we can control on one side of the line, and then here's what we can't control on the other side of the line. What can we ultimately control? Lee, what can you and I both ultimately control?
Little.
Little. We can control,
me. I can control me. Yes.
That's about it. That's about all that goes into that first category. What can I control? Me. Everything else goes into that other category, what I can't control. And so with what I can control, I should hold responsibility. Hold responsibility for me and my behavior around my kids and how I'm praying for them and investing in them. Like you said, you know, having a Bible time is a great thing. That's me holding responsibility for my role as a mom. Everything else, like how my kids are going to turn out and whether they ultimately follow the Lord, like that all goes in the other category. And that's where I need to fold my hands and surrender to God. But, you know, let me just say, that's tough as moms to know, well, which parenting, how does that play out? Because when we first get those little tiny babies, like, we are completely holding, right? They are completely our responsibility. They can't do anything for themselves. And now I have two kids who are over 18, and my job is getting to be more and more and more folding. Eventually, when they are completely launched on their own, my job is done. And so I need to completely fold my hands and surrender. But, you know, it's really tricky when they're age 8 or 9 or 10 and they want that independence. So I say, you know what, if your child is still small enough that they're crawling up in your lap and you can hold them, then you're mostly holding. But if they're the kind of child who, they don't really want you to pick out their clothes, they don't want you to tell them, like, exactly how they eat or what, you know, they like their plate a certain way. You're working on folding surrendering that child to God. Oh, it's so tricky to know for each individual child how to do that. And I say, Lee, we just need wisdom. As moms, we need wisdom to know when to hold responsibility for our kids. You know, I think holding responsibility is no, you can't play video games for 16 hours on a Saturday, right? But folding my hands, right, breathe, and folding my hands and saying, well, you know what? I'm going to let you play this game that I don't entirely approve of, but you know, we're going to work with you, and we're going to let God be in control of how this all plays out in your life. It stretches us, doesn't it? It's such a stretch.
Well, that takes us to the role that prayer plays in this process, doesn't it? I mean, prayer has everything to do with the wisdom that you were just talking about.
Yeah, you know what I think prayer is? It's reminding ourselves of what we say is true, right? I mean, so many of the things that I pray, I've prayed them hundreds and hundreds of times. Like, God, I believe that you are present. I believe that you see us. I believe that you have a plan in this situation. I trust that you have a purpose in this that is greater than the one that I can see. All these things are things I have said so many hundreds of times, and yet, guess who needs the reminder? Not God, me. Control is one of those things that, oh, it's really stubborn. It does not change quickly. I think that we are born with this innate desire to control our surroundings. I see it in the curse when God says, your desire will be to control your husband. Genesis 3:16. I think we're born with this desire, and it's a stubborn problem. And so prayer is chipping away at this problem, right? It's reminding ourselves of what is true, that we aren't in control, and that God is, and going over and over and over that in our minds. One of the stories that I think is so interesting is the story of Rachel in the Bible, because Rachel lived so much of her life stressed out about how many kids she was going to have. And I know some of our listeners can identify, right? She lived her life pacing in front of this empty crib, so obsessed, so frustrated, and so putting under her own shoulders the burden of how things were going to play out for her family. But when we, living thousands of years later, look back at Rachel, we're like, Rachel, like, how could you be worried about, like, your significance in this role you're in? You were one of the mothers of Israel. You got to be the mom of Joseph. You had this incredible role in God's story. And I don't ever see her catching a glimpse of that. She lives her whole life just kind of stressed out, fretting, anxiety. She's very controlling in her relationships. And then she dies in childbirth. And she never really gets a grasp of the fact that God was in control. And I see Rachel's story as a warning, because I can make those same mistakes. I can pace and fret and carry it all on my own shoulders, when really God is truly in control the way that I say he's in control, but he truly is. And so, yeah, prayer, I think, is just rehearsing what I believe is true, meditating in prayer.
Mm-hmm. And that's a part of our Moms in Prayer Hour, is praising God for who he is. And when we focus on the truth that not only does he not withhold from those who love him, no good thing will he withhold from those who love him, but that he's trustworthy in all of his ways. As we meditate, like you said, on what we need to fold on, surrender to the Lord, fold our hands quite literally on.
Right.
I mean, for me, setting my heart on who God is changes the situation, because if I cannot control this, then I'm going to have to entrust it to somebody who can.
Yes.
Isn't that a thing? I sent you a copy of this article that was in USA Today. Not so, well, I sent you a picture of it and said, we have to talk about this.
Yes, I love that.
The headline was about why students are carrying guns to school with them. And in reality, more and more students, this article says, are carrying guns with them into schools because they feel like the situation is out of their control. And when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to Shannon about this. We have to teach our kids what to do when they're out of control. And an out of control mom, right, in the middle of her spiraling control issues, cannot do that. So,
and what have we trained our kids? if when every little thing that has produced anxiety in us causes us to march down to the principal's office, click, 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 with our heels down the, you know, down the hallway, and we're going to take care of this problem, and this is going to change, and we are taking over, I think we've trained our kids to have that impression that we're the ones who have to be in control. We have to take control. We may pray and say God's in control, but our actions speak really loud. And yeah, so I see those kids saying, I gotta do something about this. I have to have a gun in my backpack because this is a crazy world we live in, right? I mean, they've caught that attitude somewhere, right? They've heard their moms. They've seen her in just a hot mess, in a ball of anxiety or frustration or anger. And oh, we need to be the opposite kind of moms. Like, what if our kids, when they see something that's really scary, there is some threat at their school, what if they are down in fire drill mode saying to the other kids, hey, you know what, let's pray, because we know God's in control of the situation. We know that he sees every single one of us here, that he has an overarching plan, and we can trust him. What if they have seen us do that over and over so many times in their little lives that they've adopted that as their philosophy rather than the, I got to bring a gun, I got to take care of this, this is out of control, I have to take control.
Well, I totally agree. We have to teach them that he is reliable and mm-hmm. present in the middle of that situation. Actually, a couple of years ago, and I wrote this story in my own book, that my son came home for the first time and said, we practiced an active shooter drill in our school today. And I just, first of all, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening, because Shannon, you and I didn't do active shooter drills in school, you know, and I was like, what has this world come to? And I said, well, what did that look like? Because, you know, we practiced the like straight face, like, I'm not surprised by what you said face first, you know, and I like, well, tell me about that, buddy. And he said, we piled up in the corner like puppies. And I was like, I mean, even now when I say it, it just catches in my throat. And a couple of years ago, he said, we practiced active shooter drills in school today. And I was like, well, tell me about that, buddy. Did you pile up like puppies? And he said, no, mom, we don't do it that way anymore. We throw scissors. And I was like, like, now the training's different, that they fight back, you know? And I was like, okay, I mean, the scrappy spirit inside of me is like, yeah, we do, you know, we fight back. Yeah, we throw scissors. But really, in reality, I mean, and praise God that he overrides our mouths, because in that moment, it was a perfect opportunity. And I was like, yes, you do. And whether you pile up like puppies or you throw scissors, you start praying. Yes. And then, buddy, you speak the name of Jesus out loud over this situation, because there's power in Jesus' name. And so there are things that we can control in the spiritual realm, or that we have authority over. And so God is sovereign in all of that. We don't know what he's going to choose or what he's going to do, but we know that we exercise our full right to pray to him, to cry out to him.
I would never want to suggest that giving control to God just means blanket passivity.
Yeah.
Like, here, shoot me next. Like, that's not, I mean, that's just ridiculous. But I don't think of surrender to him as passive either.
Right.
You know, surrendering to him in prayer, that is the most uphill, gritty process. That's actually harder than trying to take control, but it's godly. It's what Jesus did. Picture Jesus in that Garden of Gethsemane on his knees, facing the cross. He was facing execution. He was facing not a shooter, but nails in his hands and the cross on his back. And he didn't want that. He said, Father, would that you take this cup from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's, you know, it's a beautiful image of us, of surrendering to God the Father. But it wasn't easy. Jesus was bent over in a gritty, sweaty battle of surrender. The Bible says his sweat was like great drops of blood flowing down his body. Like, that is a true picture of surrender. So, yeah, not passivity at all. It's, we do not have resting heart rates when, as moms, we surrender our precious kids to the Lord Jesus. But we do this battle in faith not in fear, but in faith, in trust, and in full security, knowing that our God, whether it turns out the way that we're hoping or whether it doesn't, it is completely in his hands. Nothing has slipped from his attention or his power, and he manages all of it. And someday, all of us, every single one of us who belong to him, will be swept up in his hands and will live with him in complete and utter security within the gates of heaven.
Shannon, I am so grateful for your words. I'm grateful that I have a friend that I can call and go, hey, I'm having controlling thoughts and issues right now.
And likewise.
And this is vital. Facing this issue down as moms in the middle of our motherhood journey, and even having someone that we can pray through the issues and just say, is this a hold or fold issue? Is this something that I do need to click my little heels down to the principal's office? Because surely there are times for that.
Absolutely.
Or is this a time when we do the full battle on our knees in prayer? Shannon, I hope that our friends will go get your book, Control Girl, because it really is fabulous. And I loved having you here today. But Shannon, would you pray for our moms that are listening that this is their issue? Or maybe they're like, wait a minute, this may be my issue. Mm-hmm. Can you pray for those moms today?
Lord Jesus, you see our hearts. You know us completely before we were even born. You knew exactly who we were as you knit us together in our mother's wombs. And Father, I pray that you would search our hearts. I pray that this conversation about control would not be one that we just brush aside. Father, I pray that we would sit with it and that we would bring our concerns before you. Lord, unless you open our eyes, we cannot see. And so, Father, I pray that even yet for me today, so many years into this journey of surrendering control, I pray that you'd show me again. Show me again the areas that I'm holding on, that I'm clamping down, that I'm trying to use my own strength and pile it onto my own shoulders to take control. Father, I pray that you would breathe your truth into my soul. Remind me of who you are. That you love me, that you see me. You love my friend Lee. You love our children. You see them. You have good plans intended. And Father, we know that this world is broken and things don't always turn out the way that we would like, but taking control only adds to the brokenness. So Father, we pray for the freedom and the joy and the security and the peace that come from doing what Jesus did, from bending over in that grueling process, that sweaty process of surrendering control to God. I pray, Father, that you would change us through this process, Lord, that you would, as we surrender little by little by little, day by day by day, prayer by prayer by prayer, Lord, I pray that you would change us into women who have faith, not fear. Father, thank you for this time and this discussion. I pray that we would take it with us into our lives as moms. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Woo! What an episode. I needed that, and I bet you did too. Can you think of one mom who will quickly admit she struggles with control issues? Yeah, me too. Let's share today's episode with them and let them know we see their struggle, and we're praying. You can find show notes for today's episode and more information about Shannon and her book, Control Girl, on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. Actually, she's generously giving us a copy to give away. So hop onto our Facebook feed and one of our podcast quotes this week and leave a comment telling us how you surrender your family, and we'll draw a winner for a free copy. Moms make the difference, friends. Moms fighting to entrust their children to our Heavenly Father. Moms just like you. See you next time.